The Drop with Frank and Brian is officially brought to you by Switch Suspension. Switch Suspension specializes in all vehicle chassis components. Lift kits, lowering kits, air ride suspension, wheels, tires, steering, and brake upgrades. They use all the best products from the best brands. And these guys are truck guys. You roll into their parking lot at the shop, and they all drive custom vehicles. So they use their products that they sell on their own vehicles. So if you guys are looking for anything for your vehicles, whether you're just starting out or you just need some replacement parts or whatever, give them a call or visit their website, switchsuspension.com.
Hope you enjoy this episode of The Drop. If you like these podcasts and all the other content we create, head on over to our websites and purchase merch. Purchasing merch keeps us going and creating more content. Our websites are grinder-tv.com and livelifecustom.com. We really appreciate it. Now on to the episode.
Oh, you're working right off the bat.
Oh, see? now something else is going to go wrong.
I know.
I'm prepared.
Are you recording?
Oh, I should probably put this by my mouth.
I thought it was a little strange. Almost like the in The Good Life.
That was Ty Good Life.
Yeah, that was almost real bad.
It couldn't have been that bad because nobody noticed it.
I know. I was just like,
not one person. One guy in Australia circled it. My buddy Jamie. East Coast Cruise Jamie that gave us the shirts and stuff.
Thank you, Jamie, for giving me that shirt, man. I am really thankful. It's actually one of my favorite shirts. It's a really nice shirt. I think it's on an AS color shirt. But yeah, I really love that shirt. And he gave that to me quite a long time ago, and I never said anything just because I'm a piece of crap, basically.
He knows.
Thank you, Jamie. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much. And the cool stickers. And the wonderfully nice handwritten message.
Right?
What a nice guy. I'm sorry.
Some people are just amazing.
Yeah, I know.
And some people are not.
And some people are Frank Newton.
So I'm trying to get him lined up to when you're out here for Cruise of the Pines that we can do a podcast where it's me and you here.
Mm-hmm. FaceTime.
You know, and then, yeah, FaceTime.
That'd
so
be
it's
cool.
It's not three different areas. It's just two different areas.
Yeah. We did that way, way, way in the beginning with Will. And we were just trying stuff out. It didn't really work that well. And it's better that we'll be in the same room FaceTiming with someone else, because we did another scenario where I was in the room with the person and then you were on FaceTime. That didn't work. So
yeah, it was
trial and error.
Yeah, that was funny. The early times.
The early times of The Drop.
But
Ty Good Life. Yeah, you know, the thing was, what was about it, like, you did that. I'm like, what? And I went back. And I guess why no one really noticed, including myself, is because the whole thing is kind of, now it's not illegible, like you could read it, but it is very unique. So my brain is just like, okay, The Good Life.
Yeah, that's like my brain went to that too. And that shirt got shared like crazy.
Yeah.
And it's so funny that, maybe someone did notice and they didn't tell me and they were just like, maybe like, well, I don't know what's.
Yeah, like how do I approach this? Is that supposed to be like that? The thing about it is if anybody does notice stuff like that, please say something, because I mean, it could just very simply fall through the cracks and no one's going to be mad at anybody for like, hey, by the way, that's wrong. it's spelled wrong. It's out of place.
Well, not the artist didn't know. Brandon didn't know.
Yeah. It went through
it went through a lot of people. Those separations were already done.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, dang.
Yeah.
Wow.
And it was, I printed almost 200 air fresheners with Ty Good Life on them.
Oh, you did? Oh, so.
I messaged the company. I'm all, hey, did these go to print yet? And they're like, yep. Did you want to talk about reprinting them all? No, it's fine. Ty Good Life is good.
Ty's fine.
Ty Good Life.
Oh, my goodness, dude. Wow.
I have a real anxiety about spelling stuff wrong.
Oh, yeah.
When I post Instagram stories, when I make YouTube thumbnails, like, I literally have to sit there and go, because I type really fast. Like, naturally, I just type really fast.
Mm-hmm.
And these days, everything just spells things for you. And
right.
It underlines it in red and whatever, right? But I'm just like Wednesday or September, like weird. And I have to sit there and stare at it for a long time.
And eventually you'll be Googling, am I spelling life correctly? And Googling the word life.
The word that just doesn't look
right to you.
Uh-huh.
But it's like every once in a while, one word will be like, I'm like, that doesn't look right at all. But it is.
Mm-hmm.
But my brain is like scrambling it or something like that.
Oh, I know. I do it all the time. And then I still make mistakes. And then I'll put together like this like 4 or 5 piece like story on Instagram. And then the first one will be spelt wrong. And then Andrew will be like, hey, that's spelt wrong. I'm like, oh.
Or when you go to delete an Instagram story and then you, and it also is on your Facebook. Luckily now it just says, do you want to delete both?
Yeah. I do that all the time. Yeah, I put up a story. Too. I put up a story and then 2 seconds later I'm like, nah. And then take it down.
Yeah.
I do that all the time too.
Oh, that's so
funny. What do you got today for a t-shirt? Broken Bones Garage?
Yeah, it's my buddy's shop in Texas. Used to be here in Arizona and he moved to Texas.
Okay. I'm just now I'm just curious to see what you're gonna pop off with each week for t-shirts.
Yeah, nothing like last week.
That was so amazing.
So I showed Joey that when he was here.
Uh-huh.
I was like, look at this t-shirt. This is Jeff's old company. And that's what I forgot to do, is look in the Grindr magazine for the original company that Jeff started. Jeff started a company with this guy, Chris Moore, that used to be in Forbidden.
That wasn't Fuckmore, was it?
Yeah. No, it was not Fuckmore. Oh. But that's funny because it started with a guy named Chris Moore. And yeah.
Oh, okay.
No, it was not that. But anyways, so
I have a very funny story about that company, but go ahead.
Joey said the 113, he put it together in his brain so fast. Like he, and I was like, did you know that? He goes, no, I just think that. The A is 1 and Menace is 13. 113. The A and the M.
Okay.
I don't even know. I didn't fact check Joey if M was the 13th.
He's lying to you.
Yeah, I know. He's just... Hold on. A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H.
There's a lot of stuff like that.
J,
like,
K, L, M.
Yeah. There's the band 311. Like everybody tried to like dissect what 311 means, you know?
My buddy dissected what 311 meant, made up a story about it, put it on Facebook, and it got shared. He said it was like a... some kind of secret code for something.
Well, originally, like the back in the 90s, I remember it was like the police code for indecent exposure. I've heard that one. I've heard that it was like same thing with the alphabet, something like that. I don't know.
Yeah,
we kind of mess with that too with FFF. Like we do 666. That's FFF. Mm-hmm. You know. So yeah, it's quirky things, man. But anyway, funny story about Fuckmore Clothing, and I know I'm saying the F word a lot on this, but...
But it's F-U, it's F-U-K.
Yeah, it's F-U-K.
That's how they spell it. So.
Right, it was Fuckmore Clothing, and prevalent in the early 2000s, and I remember being at a Forbidden Fantasy show, setting up the booth, and they were set up next to me, and for... that was a separate incident. One was a funny thing with Ernie, that's another thing. But, so they set up next to me, and he comes up to me, he's like, hey man, look, I just want to let you know that you're probably not going to be getting much business today. And I was like, okay. And then he's like, yeah. He's like, we're done with all this stuff. We're blowing out these shirts for $5. And everybody's going to be buying these shirts, and probably they're not going to be buying your shirts. And I was like, okay. And then, so we go through the day. That was one of our best times selling at Urban Fancy Show. And I don't know if it was that Chris guy or someone else. I can't remember, but that was funny. And then another really interesting time was, again, Forbidden Fantasy Show. We're set up next to this other company called, they were like a pinup company. They had like, do you remember them?
I remember.
It was like Puss Clothing or.
Oh, yeah.
Sour Puss Clothing.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Something like that.
Something like that.
Setting up again, getting everything ready. Ernie comes up to me. No. I was talking to somebody and like just showing him something. Ernie comes by and he goes, don't buy any of this. Go buy from them. And I was like, okay.
Don't buy from you.
Yeah, don't buy from me. Go to Sour Puss Clothing and buy from them. I don't know. I don't know what the whole situation was. I was just like,
you should have beat him up.
Yeah, well,
just start throwing hands.
Yeah, but anyway, that fuck more clothing. I don't know. Anyway,
I had a few of those shirts. I don't know where they're gone now, but
yeah, I didn't know that guy too well. I knew of him. And obviously knew about his clothing and stuff, but didn't know much of him. It was that another quintessential early 2000s, like Nautical Stars, you know, Old English, like writing, that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't have any more surprises for shirts. I just have some old, like, show shirts from Australia that people sent me and stuff like that. But
Cool. Well, hey, that's a new part of the show. Is what is Brian wearing today? What piece of vintage apparel is Brian wearing today?
Yeah.
But anyway, how was your weekend? You saw Linkin Park?
Yeah, so Joey rolled out on Friday. And yeah, it was a good time.
Yeah.
That was the first time that I've done like the get there early and like, you know, do like all that stuff. Usually you have seat assignments, and so it doesn't matter when you get there. Mm-hmm. But we actually rolled down to the arena at like 9:30 in the morning and got wristbands. And then they put a number on the wristband. And then you come back between 4:30 and 5:30. And so we ended up getting a hotel down there because he's just flying out the next morning. So I was just like, oh, it just makes just sense.
Yeah, then you go to the airport and then.
Yeah. So then we cruised around, you know, throughout the day. Went to this really cool, like, hip-hop shop called Trill.
I saw the photos. That looked really cool.
I got to take you over there when you come out next time. And we spent a bunch of time there. It was really cool. I never heard of it. So what? Come to find out, I'm a terrible host.
Nah, well.
I didn't grow up in Phoenix. Didn't grow up in Arizona. Don't know much. You know what I mean? You go to San Diego and Joey's just like.
Yeah, he's like, take it here, I'll take it there, take it here.
All this stuff, right? Yeah. And then I was thinking about that morning when he was driving animal. I don't even know what to do. You want to go to Buffalo Wild Wings? Like, what?
Well, I mean, not to talk crap about Phoenix in particular, and I know our Phoenix friends would have something to say about it, but San Diego isn't, like, I mean, I don't know. Phoenix just seems like it is very, like, chain. Everything is like chain. Everything is like.
Well, once you get into Phoenix proper, it's not.
Oh.
Once you get, like, because there's a ton of stuff to do down there. Like, we were just driving around, and I was like, oh, I didn't even know about any of this.
That's what I'm saying. Our Phoenix friends may have a disagreement to that.
They definitely would. Yeah. You know, I mean, Phoenix has been around for quite a while. It's just, you know, like, I just don't know.
Yeah, like you said, you're not just from there. You're not from there. So.
Well, and I don't hang out down. Right. Like, I just, anyways. Yeah. So Joey's like, we're driving, and we were going to go somewhere, and he's like, I heard there's, like, a hip-hop shop around here. So he looked it up, and we ended up being, like, around the corner from it.
Oh, that's cool.
So it was freaking cool. And, I went there and then met up with Will and Lindsay and Brianne and Carl and them, because Carl was out here too, and had lunch. And then we got to in line at, like, 5 o'clock. But since we already had numbers, we were in the second line to go into the stadium. So we were probably, like, the 20th person to walk in there.
Oh, wow.
And had floor tickets or whatever. So, like, you know, they call it, you know, the rail. So everyone that goes in there and just holds the rail, mm-hmm. they want that front. We were one person behind that.
Oh, wow. So you stood the whole time there until the show started.
Yeah.
Wow.
We were on our feet basically from, you know, getting in line about 4:45 and then till we got back to the hotel.
That's crazy. I couldn't do that, dude. My back could not do that.
Oh, it was so much fun. Like, the crazy part is, so we were in line waiting to go inside the arena, and there was Joe, you know, Joey, he just talks to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So he made friends with everyone around us.
Mm-hmm.
And, there was a kid behind us, 17-year-old kid. He was from Australia, and he was just him there. And he's like, yeah, I'm here with my mom, and she's buying merch somewhere. And he's like, we flew in, and we drove up to San Francisco, and we went and saw Suicide Boys and Goo Goo Dolls.
Oh, wow. And that's an interesting combination.
Well, his mom is 50, uh-huh. and he's 17, right?
But they had a show together, or it's two separate shows? No,
two separate shows.
Well, that would be the weirdest thing. No,
so they're just
thing.
Going to, like, I know, yeah. they're just going to these concerts, mm-hmm. and it's mom's celebrating her 50th birthday. And that's cool. So we ended up like, okay, they let us in, so we started walking in. And they cut us off right behind me and Joey, and they were going to send the kid to the next door, but he's like, no, I'm staying with you guys. So, like, he dives down in, right? And we get down, and we're just like, where do we go? Because it's in the round. Mm-hmm. So we're just trying to, in our head, before this place fills up, we're just like, where do we secure our spot? Where's the best place to be? So we kind of, like, walked around, and we found a spot, and then Joey makes friends with more people, the people in front of us, the people next to us. He's asking everybody what their favorite band, the concert was, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then the kid's mom shows up, a little bit later and made friends with her. So ended up the opener of that show was this guy named Gene Dawson.
Okay, I'm not familiar.
I was not familiar either, and but apparently he's popular with the youths.
Oh, with the youths. Okay.
With the youths. Okay. So the kid, the 17-year-old kid, is like going nuts. And then there's another younger kid that met up with, that was behind us too, going nuts. And the videographer, not a lot of people were going nuts, okay? The crowd was there for Linkin Park.
Mm-hmm.
Some knew Gene Dawson, but it was mostly like people just like...
Yeah, like, okay, cool.
Cool, but the kids behind us were just going crazy. So the videographer was like... focusing in on them, and then later on the videographer went around and was filming them from the thing, and Joey noticed the videographer, so he's like this da, da, da. And it ended up those two kids got set lists, like the manager came down after the show and like pulled them up and did all this stuff. And then the while we were sitting there too, the drummer of Linkin Park was just walking around talking to people, so we got a picture with him.
Oh, that's rad.
And and yeah, and then the whole thing was just...
Yeah, I saw that picture where it was Joey like pointing at the camera. That's what you're referring to?
No.
Oh, so that's something different.
That's the DJ.
Oh, for Linkin Park.
For Linkin Park. And he was walking around taking pictures of people.
Oh.
Yeah. And that was on his... Someone... So this is the funny part, right? So go on TikTok. I'm scrolling TikTok the night of, the next day, and it's just like... you start to see Linkin Park people from all different parts of the arena, right? Different things. You're like, oh, cool. So you like it. And then it shows you another Linkin Park. Mm-hmm. And it starts to narrow down to the people that were around me.
Really?
I found one lady that was in line with us, and like, I was like, she's the one that told me about, she's like, hey, your buddy's in the picture on what's his name's story.
Mm-hmm.
So now there's this like echo chamber of people that were around us at the
crazy. I mean, that just goes to show you how powerful that algorithm is.
Well, it's mostly me because I was seeing where the videos were coming from. So then I would go look on the profile, and then I would be like, oh, that's the dudes that were in front of us.
Right.
Oh, that's the person that was next to us. And it's like,
and then the algorithm is just like, oh, hey, check. Oh, and then, yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah. It was pretty cool though. And, but yeah, it was amazing.
That's like, awesome. So the actual concert was really good. Like, I've never seen Linkin Park in live at all, even, you know, before that guy died. But I could imagine that it was pretty freaking cool.
Oh, it was. It was super powerful. It was just super energetic. And like the way that they had it set up was like the drums and the drums were in one corner and the DJ was in one corner. And then the two lead singers were, you know, doing mm-hmm. different sides of the stage. And then in the middle of everything, they changed it. It went dark. They took the drums, rolled them to this corner, and brought the DJ to this corner, and then started playing again. And that was funny because there was a lot of people that were there that had seen Linkin Park in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was a lot of people. Then there was like the mother and son, right, that came from Australia. And then there was another mother and son in front of, off to the side of us. And they were just like, you know, me and my son, when he was born, we used to listen to Linkin Park. I never thought we'd be able to see him live. And like, this is like a dream come true. Wow. And it was just like, it was just crazy. That's but doing cool. that whole thing, like being in the very front right there was, I want to do that more. Like, it was just a really cool thing.
Yeah. You know? One year in the very early days of Coachella, we saw Beastie Boys, and Angie wanted to see that. The whole reason we were there was to see the Beastie Boys. And she hung onto that rail from like 8 in the morning or whenever it started till they went on it like at 11 at night. I chickened out. Like, I got all the way. I got so far too. And then Queens of the Stone Age came on and put on a great show. And I got and like, I think I exerted all my energy during that. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, so I had to like, I went back, but Angie stayed right there. I saw Beastie Boys probably, you know, halfway between the back and the front, because I kind of made my way up, but Angie hung on the whole day. But like I said, I don't know if I could do that anymore. I had this like little stool that collapses into a disc, so I would have to bring that, just sit down.
Yeah, sit on the floor. Yeah. Yeah, that was cool. It's funny because there's like a lot of people, once it starts, like everyone claims their spot, and mm-hmm. that's their space. So we were all protecting our space.
Yeah.
Someone's like, I'm you going to the bathroom. And someone's like, I'm going to the bathroom. We're like, okay, we got you.
Yeah.
You know, like we created this little ecosystem around us, and it was a lot of fun. And, but there was towards the end, it kind of like, starts to get a little rowdy right behind us with you know, people
in the pit and stuff,
in the pit and all that. And then, so then people start to move, like, then it's like people start to adjust. Mm-hmm. And then there was this one dude that just kept on trying to like he tried to bully his way
next
to me and then get in front of me. And I was like, dude, I'm not moving. Like,
yeah,
calm down. And, but yeah, it was amazing.
Was it, how was it hearing the old songs? Did they play mostly old stuff? Because there's not too much new stuff. Because
no, the they girl... played. Like, it was yeah. They played. I think they played like four of the new songs, and then mostly, the rest of the old.
Yeah,
it was amazing. Like that's really cool. I know people are just like,
I don't have an opinion on it either way about the girl being now the lead singer or anything.
Well, Joey was like, I never listened to the new stuff, and he's like, I listened to it on the way up here. He goes, nah, I'm all, yeah, but do you have like a good stereo? Because you have to like, and then after the concert, he was just like, holy shit. He was like, that was insane.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah. I'm like, that chick is amazing. Yeah. Like, her voice is very good. It's powerful. It's all this stuff. And mm-hmm. So I see so many negative comments online. And I watched a thing. Mike Shinoda did a thing. And he goes, you know, we knew this was going to happen. Like, we're not stupid. Like, right. We knew we were going to get throwback from it. But he goes, if there's a fan of Linkin Park that doesn't listen to us anymore, how many young kids are now listening to us in place of that fan?
Exactly, yeah. Because mm-hmm. there's going to be a time when those arena, young... Okay, sorry.
No, I was going to say that entire arena was full of old people and young people.
Yeah.
And a lot of young girls.
Oh, you know what I mean? Oh, well, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. And it's just so cool to see that.
Yeah, I was just going to say that there is going to be a whole generation that grows up with not knowing you know, Chester and the old Linkin Park. So it's going to be this really interesting. And it already is a really interesting mix of people.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. Really good. Yeah, Linkin Park was never my favorite, but I always respected the music and liked it. But, that's really cool. That's really cool. Yeah. And then the whole weekend looked fun. I was having serious freaking FOMO.
I know. I know. Dude. Joey was like, Frank's having FOMO right now. I was like, I know.
It looked like a ton of fun. And then Joey was out there taking.
No, that was cool.
Oh, you there?
Uh-oh. We lost Frank.
Oh,
there you are.
Okay, that was interesting.
That was a little blurb.
Yeah, a little weird thing.
That was everyone telling us to shut up about Linkin Park, or me shut up about Linkin Park.
No, yeah, no. Screw that. Well, I mean, I was going to talk about trucks a little bit, about Joey taking his truck out there to get some work done on it.
Yeah, I'm going to make a little video on that. Like, I made a video of when he pulled up and got out.
Oh, cool.
And then I put my camera away, and I was like, oh, I didn't get him talking about this. But I'm not going to make a video about, like, him and the truck. I'm just making a video about, like...
Yeah, just sort of part of the whole process.
Part of the whole process, yeah.
So it's at Panda's right now, getting the front end redone, right?
No.
Oh, it's not?
It's on the side of my house.
Oh, not yet. Oh, he's in line, too?
Oh, yeah. This like, a couple weeks out.
Oh.
Yeah. It was just a chance for him to like,
oh, come drop it off.
Come here, drop it off, and all that. So luckily he doesn't need it to drive around every day and all that good stuff. So no, my Tacoma's going there first.
Oh, so your Tacoma.
My Tacoma will be at Panda. So funny story about Pandas, right?
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, I'm going to go down and make a video about the progress on the red truck and just kind of like a catch up. Mm-hmm. Like, what has Panda been working on?
It's been a while.
Let's just have him run around the shop and explain why I haven't put out a video. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Just, you know, all this stuff. So I'd go do that. I record this whole thing. I get home. I plug the microphone in the wrong hole camera.
Oh, no.
So I was using the wireless DJI mics. There's a little contraption that goes on top of the Sony.
Mm-hmm.
And you plug a wire from that into the Sony. Well, I plugged it into the earphone monitoring
jack. Oh, not the microphone.
Instead of the microphone jack. And I kind of knew it halfway through. I'm like, I don't know. It was super weird. I don't know why I didn't pay attention to this. But got home, no audio. So I went back yesterday, re-recorded the whole thing.
Oh, okay. So I thought this happened yesterday, because now you're like, oh, crap, I don't have anything.
No, so now the first part of this new video is just me voicing over what we did, because we actually had to lower the motor down. It was a really funny video, and I ruined the entire thing.
No. That sucks. And does your camera, because I know, I mean, my cameras are much older than yours, but like if I change my my audio settings over to manual, to like to an external mic kind of thing, there's no sound. Like, if you unplug the mic, there's no sound.
I see what you're saying. So mine is automatic. So if you unplug the cord,
oh, then it just goes automatically.
So I had all this in-camera audio, but it's so there's fans going, yeah. There's hissing, like the audio is really bad. You can't hear anything. And the reason that I wanted to put the mics on me and him was because we were walking around the shop, so he was over here, and so, you know, all this stuff. But now I have this thing that is just, there's no wire needed. Mm. I had it, but I didn't use it. So now I just put the receiver on top of the shoe, on top of the camera,
mm-hmm.
and there's a little wireless thing, and that, so there's no wires at all.
So it all just all automatically syncs up.
But I was still scared. I'm like, I hope this works. Like, it's bouncing. The audio's bouncing, testing, and it's fine. And then I get here, and it's totally fine. But
well, that's good.
So that video's done. I just have to do the intro and outro of it.
So do you think it'll be up by before this episode airs or at the same time?
Is this on your channel?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it should be on. I'm just going to drop it Monday morning.
Oh, okay. So same time as this. So if you listen to this, there's a new...
Or Sunday evening. I don't know.
Yeah. Who knows? All that stuff. Just whenever you feel like it.
Yeah.
Except for not on a Friday afternoon. Don't do that.
Or a holiday.
Yeah. Learned all that.
Everyone thinks, I'm going to do it on a holiday because everyone's home. Yeah, but no one's paying attention to what you're doing.
Right. They're all doing
other stuff.
Yeah, they're all doing their holiday stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, cool. I was trying to think if there's anything else I wanted to talk about that, but there's not. I'm just waiting for some more videos. I'm waiting for some more panda content because I like it and it's interesting and it's really cool seeing all these trucks built. And I kind of want to know where I stand in this whole thing.
You'll know when you come out for Cruise to the Pines because you'll probably solidify something there.
Yeah. So. Yeah. No, I'm not worried about it. Just being funny.
It does suck. I can't imagine how it is for you because you did this big transaction, and the reason you did this transaction was not only just to have a Tacoma,
mm-hmm.
but to do this whole content thing.
Yeah.
And now you're just like...
Well, like I've said many times before, I'm just having fun right now, just having it and driving it. You want to know what my biggest fear is? And I hope I don't talk this into existence. Maybe I shouldn't say anything. My biggest fear is something happening to the truck in the meantime.
Oh, like getting in an accident.
Getting in an accident.
You have insurance, and there's other Tacomas out there.
Well, I mean, yeah, that is true, but,
yeah.
You know, it's just something that sits in the back of my mind, because I drive it every day. I just do my little errands and stuff.
I was thinking about that. Like, you have this brand new Tundra, you got your Camry, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you're just like,
meep, meep.
Yeah, and then you're just in the Tacoma. And I was thinking about that. I was driving to Tanner's, because I went and filmed at Tanner's yesterday, too. And there was this crew cab Tacoma, like 01 to 03, you know, the double cab with the little bed on it. And it had a little lift on it with big tires. But I've always liked those trucks when they're lifted with tires.
Yeah.
And I'm like driving behind it. I'm all, man, I could just sell the Maverick and get one of those as a daily. Oh, I love those. They look so cool. And I was just like, then I came home. I'm on Marketplace. I'm looking at them, doing all my math. And I'm just like, well, these get 16 miles to the gallon. Yeah. This is because I want the V6, automatic V6, because I think they only come in V6s.
I think the four doors do when they're on their, maybe that's not entirely true, but the six lug suspension, right?
Yeah, I didn't find any four wheel drives. I only found pre-runners, and I don't know if those are six lug two or not, but regardless, I wanted the V6 because I'm like, the things I do with the Maverick, I could do with this, tow my little trailer, do all this. And then I was like thinking of the San Francisco trip. I'm like, okay, the truck averaged like 20-ish miles per gallon towing that trailer up and down. If this thing gets 16 to 19 without a trailer,
right?
I might as well just drive a full-size truck.
A Titan, yeah.
A Titan that gets 20 miles, a new Titan that gets 19 miles to the gallon or something. You know, I'm like, so I just closed Marketplace.
You're like, let's put that away.
Maybe later on in life, because I've always loved Tacomas. With a little bit of a lift on them.
Oh, yeah.
Like almost like the Hawaii style, right? You know what I mean?
Or like the Overland style or like, you know, the pre-runner style. Yeah, they always, Tacomas just look good. And they look good lifted or lowered. So
yeah. So one day.
Yeah. But yeah, no, man, I drive it every day. I wasn't driving it for a while because the battery died. And I was just like, I'll get that in a minute.
You had a $30 tender on Amazon.
Well, no, it was the battery that came with it. Was like what my mechanic, that's one thing he said. He's looking at everything. He's like, that battery's from 2015. He's like, you're probably going to need a new one. I was like, okay. And he was right.
Yeah.
It just took me a minute to finally be like, okay, fine. Let's go get a battery and put it in.
Yeah.
And I slid that thing in there and drive it all the time.
And I went to, I was like, dang, Joey's truck's just going to be sitting here for a minute. Does it need a tender? So I bought one. Now I have like four of these battery tenders. And then I was like, I wonder if my Tacoma will start. I haven't started it in a while. And I went to start. It's like, woong, 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 woong. And the compressor's kicked on too. I'm like, oh. So I put a tender on that and then went out and started it. And it started.
Did
right
you guys extend the battery cables on that? So you had to get on the ground and like get up under
it? No, just through. I can get it through the access hatch.
Oh, okay.
There's a wire that runs down to a post, and so I put the positive on the post, and I just ground the negative on the frame or whatever. And
okay. Yeah, that's one thing about, like, I get, like, this will be part of the sitting down panda and stuff, but, like, I want the battery completely accessible, because with the way that I am with batteries and everything and whatever, I need it, like, to just open up a thing and grab it and pull it out.
Well, you'll have to get it from underneath the truck.
Well, yeah, no, I... Well, what about doing this is all the stuff I've talked to Panda about.
Yeah.
But I like just doing an access panel. I was even thinking, like, because, like, my idea for this truck is so, like, what's the word? Utilitarian, you know? Mm-hmm. I don't mind having that thing in the bed. Just put it in a bed with, like, a little plastic cover.
No, you don't want to do that. That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. You want to put your gas tank back there and your compressors, too?
Kind of wanted the compressors and everything in the bed, too.
In the bed?
I don't know.
What? All right. I'm telling Panda he's not allowed to work on your
truck. Yeah, I know. You're like, that's it. It's over. Find someone else.
You just put it underneath the truck, and then you run. So your tailgate's going to be open and closed. It's not going to be sealed shut. So you just open your tailgate, and then there'll be a lit. There'll be like a thing, and then you put terminals right there. And then those terminals, if you ever need to jump start your truck or if you ever need to do anything, those terminals, you just.
That's a good idea.
Right there.
That's probably
your compressors
a better idea.
Don't need to be your compressors are never going to fail.
We always talk about why do we get the opinions that we get, right?
Well, because you've always had piles of crap.
Exactly.
Except your Forerunner. But even your Forerunner, think about your Forerunner.
Mm-hmm.
It never failed on you.
Had quite a few dead batteries.
Yeah, but the dead batteries were from you not driving it.
No, that's true. And too small.
Yeah, and there was on a tender the whole time. So like, that's the thing. Like my battery is accessible from the little hatch, but I can't. And if I wanted to take my battery out, I have to take my bed off.
Oh, see, like that.
But hold on. That was just a design flaw that we didn't think about.
Mm.
So now that's one of the reasons the Tacoma's going back to Pandas in a week, because we're going to take the bed off. Mm-hmm. We're going to redesign that so where I can just. The battery just comes out of the bottom of the truck.
Yeah, that makes a lot more sense.
And that's the thing, right? And then there'll be battery terminals to where I can just plug a tender into it. And then if the battery was ever dead, I can just take jumper cables.
Lift it.
It'll be actually more accessible than if it was under the hood. Because under the hood, you have to do the step of popping the hood. This, they'll just be right there. You just plug the terminals in.
Good point.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't want any of that in the bed because you don't want, like, you want to put your vendor boost stuff in the bed.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So you don't want like a space. And wiring in the bed. That's just terrible.
Yeah. It was a terrible idea.
It's a terrible idea.
Well, luckily I have good friends to tell me when I.
Luckily you don't live here and I can make decisions for you out here.
Yeah, I know. You go in there and check it, the progress. You're like, no. Let's scratch that. Move that.
Actually, I wouldn't do that. I would never do that. But Panda would do that.
Yeah. Well, like, yeah, I'm not, you know me, I am like completely open to being guided by people who know more than me. So,
and that's how I am too. I act all confident and stuff, but I'm not. I'm the complete opposite. I'm just like, I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
I don't know. What do you want to do? Yeah.
Well, still waiting, still looking forward to that. I put up some questions. Put out a thing yesterday asking about questions. Got quite a few responses.
Okay.
We haven't done this in a while. You want to drop it in?
Oh. I'm like, how do I do that? All right, ready to go.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, we haven't done that in a while.
Yeah.
So we got a lot of questions. Got a lot of great questions. There's this. I don't know. Is this a new feature? I don't know. But you can drop a photo in the like. You can ask a question.
Post that. Yeah.
I don't know if that's a new thing or maybe just something that has been around. I just never noticed it. But I thought it was kind of like something cool. You know, for people to drop a photo or a video of.
Did anyone do that?
A lot of people did.
Really?
Tanner dropped a great photo.
Oh, great.
Of you in that little, remember when you rented that little tractor thing? The little skip loader thing?
Yeah.
So he dropped that photo. It was very good.
Oh, man.
It was very good. And then we got another interesting one. This person, let's see. This is Jurgen underscore SK underscore low prez. He posted a photo of his truck, which is a really nice Tacoma. And he said, can you guys rate my truck? Well, I thought that was interesting.
Huh.
Like,
well, let me see it.
Yeah,
put it toward to the camera.
You can't look at it on your phone?
No, I could just do that. Oh, that's a one.
Oh, my God. That was funny.
One being best.
No, I thought that was funny because, like, a couple things. On the internet, on Reddit, there's certain subreddits where, like, you could actually do that. They're, like, rate me subreddits. Like, you could post a photo of yourself, and they're, like, rate me.
Oh, no. Have you seen the one that says it's the roast me?
And that was the next thing I was going to say. There are ones that say roast me.
That
and
one?
People voluntarily get roasted.
Is insane. Oh, so, if anyone wants to go on Reddit, it's an amazing website. Mm-hmm. It's way better than Facebook. It's way better than any social media you go on. Reddit is mucho better.
Yeah.
But it's called Roast Me. And it's people that hold up a note because to know it's really them. You know what I mean? And it says Roast Me. And I'm always on that subreddit. It always pops up on my thing. And I'm like, there's nothing wrong with this person, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then I go to the comments. And I'm like, holy. There's like 2,000 comments. And that is brutal.
Yeah.
But it's hilarious.
It's funny. I guess some people like a little self-deprecation, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But that I do think it's funny with this thing in particular, this guy asking us to rate his truck. Because, number one, who the hell are we to rate anything, right? Like, it's not our place. But I guess specifically since he asked, like, that's what I was like. By the way, the truck is really cool.
It is really cool. Yeah, it is
super but
cool.
Like it made me think. I'm like, what if it wasn't cool? Like, like, you know how we often say, like, okay, you know, this person did these mods on their truck, but like they didn't ask for our opinion, you know?
Yeah.
Like we can't just say, hey, that's ugly. They didn't ask. This guy specifically asked.
Yeah.
So like we can't give honest opinions about the situation. I think, we're going to be jerks about it, but I mean, no.
It looked fine to me. I don't know.
All right, well, hold on. Let me show it to you one more time. I can see one thing right off the bat that I don't think you would particularly like.
Oh, the front. Is that the front bumper?
No.
No. Geez, sorry.
The wheels.
Oh, no. I think they're fine.
The Luxani wheels. You like those?
No. Here's the thing. Mm-hmm. It's not there's wheels that I like and don't like. Mm-hmm. But it's again, a guy goes back to like my opinion doesn't matter.
Well, this guy specifically asked for your opinion.
Well, if he asked for my opinion, then he should just sell that truck as piece of crap. Sell it to me for $1,000.
Yeah.
No. When it comes to those style of wheels, it goes to the units. I'm the same way with the units.
Mm-hmm.
I used to love units. I used to love Lexani wheels. I used to love. There's things that I used to love. And it's not that I don't like them now, but it's just my tastes have changed in the overall look of a vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's one of those things. It's like, I look at units and I'm like, oh, I just don't like units anymore. So I wouldn't buy units and put them on my vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not that I think they look bad or something. It's hard to explain.
I know exactly what you're putting down.
Yeah. My tastes have just changed to a different look of a vehicle.
Yeah.
You know, I used to, I mean, look at my 86 Toyota that I had was completely shaved. Everything that you could think of was shaved on it. And same with my Tacoma back in the day, shaved corners, shaved, shaved taillights with Acura Integra tail. Like that's, I look at that now. I'm just like, but I liked it back then.
Yeah.
It's just different.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know about rating. I feel weird about that.
Yeah, it is. I just thought it was really interesting because, so often we say that we're not the authority on anything. You do whatever you want. But then this person asked specifically rate his truck.
I think it looks cool.
I like it. It's super cool. It's clean. It's not a pile of junk. It's not like all primered and dented.
I think that's like the way you just said it is perfectly to weight round that truck up. It's just like super clean.
Yeah.
It's awesome. Daily driver-ish. Mm-hmm. It just looks, like kind of how you want to do your truck. You know what
I mean? Yeah, no, it is. It's exactly. I mean, it's just super clean. It's on some old school, the Lexani crystal wheels.
Yeah, classics.
Super classics, like one of the, one of the classics. Yeah, I love everything about this truck. It's not by drop.
Yeah, well, just go on to the next question.
Yeah, nice. Two. No, it's kidding. No, I love it. You know, I love everything about it. I would drive that truck every single day.
More people should do that to their trucks and not worry about like so many other, like, you know what I mean? I get in my truck and I'm like, this thing sucks. Like, there's so much going on, and you know, I've talked about that before, but like, if it wasn't for, I think if it wasn't for the YouTube content stuff that I'm doing now, I probably would have still, I don't know if I would have built my truck or not, but like, definitely would have just done more of the route that you're going, which is getting a truck that's stock and making it just look stock, but laid out. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that was just the situation you ended up in. It was kind of self-inflicted, really.
It was.
Oh, so anyway. So thank, yeah, that was cool, man. We appreciate that. That was really cool. Your truck is super cool.
I love seeing when people send us pictures of their projects or their trucks. It's really cool.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I'm going to completely, I forget. But the guy who has that yellow Toyota, like early 70s Toyota, he sends us photos all the time. I'm sorry, I don't remember your name. It's in the drop Instagram. It's a cool truck.
Okay.
Anyway.
I have been really bad about looking at messages on the drop one.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've been kind of bad, both of us, like maintaining that whole thing. So
we're super busy,
but we're gonna try better. This is my episode this week, so there will be,
we're super busy watching YouTube videos. Leave us alone.
Jeez, come on, don't you understand where we're coming from? So let's just jump right into the rest of these. We'll start with our buddy Kay Farron Kenny. He has a couple questions. One we'll answer more towards the end because it's a good question. He says, do you guys think some wheels would look better chrome or in a billet style wheel, which is essentially what you did. You took a really nice looking chrome wheel and made it billet. So yeah. But it says, do you guys think some wheels would look better chrome or in a billet style wheel?
Like, is he talking about the finish?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know what he means.
Yeah. Cause essentially a billet wheel is just a wheel made out of billet aluminum. You know, that's CNC cut versus stamped.
I think maybe what he means is the finish is like a shiny chrome wheel, because you can take
versus like polished aluminum.
Yeah, because essentially it looks the same. Like, you could take an aluminum wheel and polish it and make it look chrome.
Yeah.
So I think that's what he's referring to. Well, some wheels, like if you took Banks and made them with a brush finish instead of chrome, would that look better?
It just depends on the truck, the color of the truck, the style of the truck. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, a lot of factors involved.
There's just a lot of factors. Yeah,
painted wheels. I mean, you could take some wheels and powder coat them.
Mm-hmm.
So, this is a good one from our previous guest, Lindsay, Pretty Low Apparel. Should women be able to have booths, or is
Women should not be able to do anything. Not vote. No choices about their bodies. Nothing.
Nothing. Nothing. You didn't let me finish the question.
All right. Yeah, I know what she's going for. Go.
Yeah, I know. Should women be able to have booths, or is that only for the husbands of the scene? And the reason she said that is because someone came up to her at a show and said, "Oh, you watching this booth for your husband?"
Or something like that. It was like, "Oh, I bought a shirt down there from your husband."
Oh, that's what it was.
You know, and she's just like this is. Yeah, I know. Yeah, this is my booth. No husbands involved.
No, girls can't do anything. Don't be silly.
Yeah, just
just quiet your pretty little head.
Don't even think.
We got it. Yeah, right. We don't got anything. Blue and white Camaro. Have either? Oh, this is a great question. Have either of you had the praline pecans from Bucky's? Mind blowing. Yeah.
Was that the ones that they sell in the little cup? They're roasting.
Yeah,
right there,
right. I think the ones that he's talking about.
Yeah.
The hot nets.
Ooh, guess what I'm doing next week?
You're going to Bucky's.
I'm going to Bucky's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to be a real mild experience, I would suppose.
It is. Yeah, it sucks now. I don't even know what's going on.
I know. I saw some photos of the one in Goodyear.
I just drove by it. Yeah, the building's up.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's moving right along.
Yeah, that's going to be the death of Bucky's.
It is. It is. No, it'll be fun. Because every time I'm driving home, like, it'll be, if I want to stop at QT to get a drink.
Yeah, like, you're like,
okay, oh, this is going to be, because when I'm driving home from Pandas and when I'm driving home from downtown, anywhere, I have to drive right by that Buc-ee's.
Oh, because you that, oh, that's before, is, I always thought it was more west of the 303, right?
It's east more of east. The
oh, yeah.
It's like so it's two, right two or three exits east of the 303. Oh, so any time I'm driving, I have to drive by that or driving to.
Mm-hmm.
So I could drive to, stop by, get me a breakfast burrito on the way to Pandas.
Hey.
Drive home.
Which is which is objectively better than getting like something at QT, because QT is just some like QT's, microwave.
QT is good. It's clean. And it's fast. It's like, it's great. It's like 10 steps above a Circle K. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, but yeah, the food wise,
yeah, if you're,
I'm never
you're
going
not,
to QT for a brisket. They have brisket burritos there. I'm like, no, yeah. I'm not getting it. It's gross.
Yeah, exactly. It at least, it'll, at least you'll, it'll be worth it to eat that if it's Buc-ee's. Yeah.
But yeah, yeah.
Moving right along. Lick. Nick. _ Ramirez Z06. Oh, this is a really good question, and I was actually going to answer this one later, but we'll just fine. We'll just do it right now. What is your favorite mini truck build of all time, or build in general? And we've talked about this before, but I have a more accurate, an accurate answer to that. If you want to go ahead first, fine. Okay, I'll go. Okay. So I've been thinking about it since yesterday, and trying to think, like, what is my favorite truck of all time? I don't have one. I don't have a favorite truck of all time. However, I have many trucks that have influenced me in different ways over the years, and I just have a few of them written down. One that I never saw in person, but I've always loved, and I've said this before, is the orange Mazda that was on the cover of Mini Trucking back in the day that had like the tribal tint. It was from
Sever. Is it Ryan Westcott's?
Oh yeah, that's right. Oh yeah. Yeah. Westcott Plasma. That was his truck. That one I never saw in person, but I just from afar through magazines love that thing. Same thing with the purple Mazda that now resides in Japan. Like that was another one. Never saw that truck in person, but always, you know, had a big influence on me. Ones that I've seen in person, the Time Machine, just seeing that in just the very, very first time I saw that, which I've said this before and people, Brent was arguing with me about it. It was the 03, resolution.
Oh, Rezo.
Yeah. And it like that was like all these trucks were there. And that was the first time I saw a Time Machine. Huge influence. Like I couldn't believe a mini truck could be that nice. Not necessarily that nice, but that detailed.
Yeah.
That was the first time I ever saw that. This is like a real off the wall one, but influenced me pretty heavily is Mike A's black Tacoma, the one that you guys drove cross country. Because that was the very first one that I saw someone actually like that you could do that.
Yeah,
could get in it and drive it across country. So that was like really influential. And then seeing it in person when it was all finished at the Forbidden Show was like really nice. And yeah, you know, he did a great job on that truck.
Yeah, Finnegan's Tacoma was always a favorite of mine.
Oh yeah, I totally forgot about that one.
Yeah,
yeah, that
because
was...
it was wild graphics. It had, you know, different graphics on both sides, and then it had the turbocharged motor.
I forgot it was turbo. That's cool. Yeah, was it the stock motor or was it a different motor?
No, stock motor, just turbocharged.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was always, I always leaned a lot, like when people would do performance stuff or engine stuff, that was always like really cool to me. Because I came from like, before the mini truck stuff, I was always like, I love doing the import stuff and the street races and all that stuff. So like, I like perform a little bit when things have some performance to them. So
yeah, I totally forgot about the truck. But yeah, that was a huge influence. Well, I mean, Finnegan in general was like an influence when I was really young too, because you know he was doing like writing those
editorials,
editorials and stuff like that. Like I loved every one of those and loved his truck. And then that was he had Nemesis on one side, and then what was on the other side? I can't remember.
I forgot.
But yeah, two sets of wheels, two different sets of wheels. One side no graphics, one side complete graphics. Had the skulls molded into the thing, and that was one of those mods that like he did and looked really cool, and then other people started doing them and they got progressively cheesier.
Yeah,
so
yeah, there's certain mods that are hard to pull off. Yeah, I don't have like there's this guy Dave, I'm gonna murder his last name, but remember the truck that Alan painted with a red 84 to 88 with all the bands and stuff?
Yep.
So his truck before that was a 95 and a half or 96 Tacoma, and it was the very first Tacoma that was basically bagged and body dropped,
the black one.
Yeah, the black one with the little graphics on the bottom. That truck, I remember seeing that truck at Forbidden at Fireworks. And I was blown away. First Tacoma, body drop, bagged. And I was just like, okay, that's sick. And it, the subtleness of the graphics, but yet, you know, and being black and like, yeah, that probably was, I would say like influential, probably that truck.
Yeah.
Be just because it just got me hyped, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a lot of these trucks that I'm mentioning. That's exactly what they did. They just invoked different feelings at the time, you know, for different reasons. And yeah, I totally forgot about that one too. Yeah, that was a huge one. Just, and then just to move on, and then you could, you know, pop in here, whatever. Ernie's Mitsu was another one that was like a big influence on me. Josh Freeman's Toyota. That's
There you go.
That's as far as like, that truck showed me like exactly how far you could take a truck.
That, yeah, that truck was, I remember I was driving my Toyota into a spring truck jamboree, one of the truck jamborees, and he was in front of me. And before I knew him, before any, before he was in Severed, anything, he just, and I remember he hit the brakes.
Yeah.
And I was like, did the paint just light up?
Yeah.
You know, and that's a truck too that is, was able to pull off that front end.
Yeah, that Accord, with the Accord headlights and stuff.
So like, it's hard to pull off. It's hard to pull off any sort of swap like that, but that one did it again because it was so low.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Another great one. Hold on. The Tre 5 Mazda, the black Mazda.
Oh, yeah. We were just talking about that yesterday.
Yeah. I mean, that's huge.
I'm trying to get Jeremy to do it again.
Which is so weird because it was almost like he just built that thing. Like, it wasn't any for any particular reason, you know? But it was just had such a, well, I mean, I think it's a two prong factor. One, it's just an incredibly cool truck. The feature was incredibly cool on that thing. And then the surface pictures. Did that come from the same shoot?
I think so.
That was from the same shoot, huh? I'm sure Lindsay and Will tell us.
Yeah.
But that feature was really, really cool.
Yeah. There's that, I know I was on a texting Jeremy the other night, and I was like, I'll buy a Mazda, and I was like, we'll just go down to your shop and recreate it real quick for fun. And his response was, in quotes, for fun. I'm like, yeah, we'll use your shop, your supplies, your knowledge.
Your money.
I'll buy the truck, but you do all this other stuff.
Yeah.
And I'll put it on my YouTube channel.
Yeah. That seems fair.
Yeah.
speaking of Mazdas, Plain Jane Mazda.
Oh, yeah.
That was highly influential.
That was cool.
That was, and I was trying to think of why. Because it wasn't necessarily built to some high standard.
No.
But it was, again, just like the Skulls and Finnegan's truck. It was a thing that someone did, and they executed it well by having this themed out truck. Like, and then people started trying to recreate that, and it got progressively worse.
Yeah.
Like, that he did it the best.
Yeah.
And then everybody tried to do it and then just did it slightly not as good.
Well, I think too, like when something comes out, that's a theme truck. There was no other theme trucks really.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
So that's
true.
That's the first one you see and you're just like, whoa, this is cool. Never seen it. And then the next one you see, you're like, well, it's not as impactful because you already saw Plain Jane.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so since it's not, since someone's recreating a theme truck, they kind of have to do things differently. So they try to, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
And but yeah, doing theme stuff is difficult, but that was a cool one.
That was a really cool one. And it also opened up the doors for the next one I'm going to bring up, which is, I called it Death Trap, but there's actually two trucks that are kind of referred to that. But that kind of opened up the thing that you can have, even the Plain Jane wasn't ratty, but you could go down that lane of having kind of a ratty truck. Do you remember a Datsun, and they called it Death Trap.
Exactly which one you're
talking okay.
about. Yep.
That one was the first one that I saw that I was like, oh, this is like ratty and kind of like crappy, but it is really, really cool.
It had the airbags like in the cab.
Yeah.
Like you could see the airbags in the floor of the cab.
Yeah, it was wild.
It was from out here.
You did a feature on it, didn't you?
No.
No? Yeah, it was maybe from Arizona.
Maybe
yeah.
Surface did.
Maybe Surface. Oh, yeah, I did. Yeah, Surface did. Yes. And Will can also clarify that. But, yeah, they did. Yeah, he was from, like, Phoenix. And I remember seeing that at a West Coast. And it was just wild. It was just a wild truck to see.
And the one that Far From Losing was another one that blew me away when I first saw
it. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because of the motor in the back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just like, what's going on?
Yeah.
You know, VW motor. Like, it's one of those things that now I'm just like, it's not that cool. But then I'm like,
It's still pretty cool. If someone did that now,
it's just like I just reasoning wise in my brain. I'm just like, again, it's an impactful thing, right? You see it, and you're just like, this is like nothing else that's been done, and nothing else that's here. Mm-hmm. And but if someone tried to do it now, I'd be like, it wouldn't be as cool to me, I guess.
I would. The only one that I would say that's kind of like doing that currently is that Mazda with, I think it's got a Subaru motor in it or something.
Mm-hmm, the one from out here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's got, it's a Subaru motor, right? In the bed. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that one, he's doing it pretty good.
Yeah.
Okay. So those are all trucks that were like very influential to me in different times. But if I was to pick one that like, I wish I had, would be the Blue Tundra that Joel built back in the day.
Yeah.
That's my all time favorite, which is funny because it's not a mini truck, but hands down, my all time favorite truck is that Blue Tundra that Alan painted.
Yeah.
Did an amazing job on it. Good job, Alan. Yeah. So, all right. So cool, man. And then, the reason I said, Kenny had two questions was, never mind.
Did Vanderberg have some questions?
He did.
The other Kenny?
Yeah, the other Kenny, the Florida Kenny. We got a Nebraska Kenny. We got a Florida.
You know, I drove
Kenny
right by his house.
Kenny's?
Yeah.
How do you know where he lives?
I don't.
Oh.
But
I
drove to Florida, and then I drove up, and I posted a story, and he replied, and he's like, "Hey, that looks like so and so." I'm like, "Yeah." He goes, "Did you drive through this town?" I'm like, "Yeah." He goes, "You drove literally by my house." Really? And I was like, in my head, I'm all, I wonder if that was the house with the square body S10 in front of it. Like,
probably. Was it green?
No, it didn't. It wasn't his that truck.
Oh, okay.
It was another square body S10 that was like up on Jack's or the park. I don't know if it was even his house.
That would have been so funny if you're like, man, what he, Kenny lives in Florida. He has a green S10 with a bonsai. It couldn't be that one, though.
No. No, if I saw that, it would be different. Yeah. But imagine if he's standing outside and he just looks at me and I look at him. I'm all
drive by.
I just go like this. Like I,
that's funny. You're like, but you know, he does have some questions. Let's answer his questions. He says, how does one qualify to donate time in the booth so y'all can enjoy the show or shoot some trucks?
You just have to be there.
Yeah. Just be present.
Yeah.
Which is like, well, that, we can't say that because we're not necessarily very selective, but we've said before, like, not anybody could do it. You know what I mean? Like, if you volunteer your daughter's friend to do it, maybe not. But good friend like Kenny, like, we know this person and we've known him a long time, like, or like Joey or anybody else who helps us out in the booth, you know, that's way different.
Yeah. And there's also one of those things, too, where you think you want to do it, and then you start to do it, and you're just like, oh, this is not. Because you have to. You don't have to be a salesman, but you have to be like, when someone walks up to the booth, you, hey, how's it going? Mm-hmm. And then you like, or you just have to be kind of interactive, but not overly interactive.
Right, right.
And then knowing where things are and then knowing how to use the square on the phone. Like, there's just this whole thing.
And if like there are some, like Joey managing two booths, like with two different, we have two different styles of how, you know, we do things. And like, it's like Kim, our friend Kim, is the most qualified, best person to do it. She's the absolute best at it.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, I mean, yeah, you could, yeah. If you want to help out, hang out. We'll see. You can see the behind the booth life.
Yeah.
He also has some new drop shirt ideas.
And I got a few of those people have sent me too.
But I kind of, Kenny can maybe clarify this, but he just says new drop shirt idea. Trucks, cameras, shows, tech, softball. Is that all on one shirt or is that each individual shirt? I wasn't quite clear what he meant on that.
Yeah,
we'll just have just a list of things we do. The drop of Frank and Brian podcast, photography, videos, shirts,
watch YouTube,
eat snacks,
not make videos.
Not make videos. Stare at Premiere, just open it Premiere. Just stare at Premiere. And then finally he says, what car truck do you regret you never sold or wish you could get back? He had his regret is selling his 64 SWB big window, SWB short wheelbase big window C10 and his 84 Supra. Well, that's a cool one.
Oh yeah.
I mean, I have many that I miss that I wish I had, but every like everything that I've had has led me up to having the thing that I have now. So I don't necessarily miss any of them, because had I held on to, like, if I would have held on to my very first truck, I would have never got a mini truck. I would have not gotten a mini truck club, and I probably wouldn't be doing this. If I held on to the first mini truck I had, I wouldn't have gotten, you know what I mean? So, like, everything has a thing.
Yeah. I regret getting rid of my first mini truck because I sold it to Pick Apart for $150.
Oh, look at that. That's, yeah, that's different.
It was real bad.
Yeah,
that's and, different. And then I regret getting my Tacoma back and building it.
In hindsight. That might have been. There are three cars that I wish I had back that had nothing to do with mini trucking or being trucked. One is when I was about, I don't know how old I was. I was young. My family had a 59 Edsel. I don't know if you know what that is. It was pink. It was a four-door hardtop. It was pink with black interior, and I loved that car. I don't know why, but I was young. I was very young, and I just was in love with that car. Always loved being in it, cruising in it, just doing all sorts of stuff. So my mom had a 1975 Trans Am, and she had that when I was really, really young. And I remember her taking me to school in that thing, and due to some unforeseen circumstances, it burned down. So I missed that car just because I grew up in that car. I can distinctly remember what was playing on. Well, you know, the old trope, like, I can remember what was playing on the radio and what it smelled like and going to school and that thing. So I wish we had that car back. And then to replace that car, my dad had bought my mom a 1976 Trans Am, but it was kind of a bad replacement because the one that she had was just a basic, it had like a 4.0, whatever they had in them at that time, the smaller motor. So I think it was like a 400. I think it was a 400. Mm-hmm. It was a 400 automatic Trans Am. So my dad replaced it with a 76 Trans Am, but it was a 455 big block four speed car. And the car was just too rowdy. It was just too much. My mom couldn't drive it because it was just one of those like lurch.
Yeah.
But it was still a cool car. And then we eventually sold that one. So I missed that one too. And so I have a bit of a soft spot for Trans Ams.
Yeah.
But anyway. So yeah, this question is really great. Maybe we'll pick some of these up later, but because I can chew on this one for a minute. C10 Club New York. They said, here's a question relating to shirts and merch. What's your opinion on DTF transfers versus traditional screen printing? Like them, love them, or hate them? The local shop that does many of our shirt designs has almost exclusively switched to transfers, which comes when it comes to multicolor designs, especially on smaller orders. Do you feel that there's a place for them, or are you hardcore screen print for life? Mike, that's who wrote the thing. Great question. That's my wheelhouse. That's what I do. I do screen printing, which is traditional screen printing, which is taking a screen, and this is going to get very technical and boring, so just hang with me. But taking a screen, coating it with an emulsion, taking a film positive, putting it on, exposing it, putting in ink, putting it on a press, and then printing shirts that way. And the reason I say all those steps is because it is a process to make a shirt. Like, it's not, and that's kind of like the old thing when someone says, like, oh, can you make one or two shirts? And they say no, because it is quite a process to create a shirt. But the difference is that is a much more durable process. Like, the inks used and the way that it's cured lasts a really long time. Like, my favorite thing is to see someone wearing one of my shirts from years ago, and the shirt's all ratty and faded, but the print still looks brand new on it. Like, that's the point. That's like what you can accomplish with screen printing. DTF. So there are two types of things. There's DTF, which is a direct to film, which is basically like a laser jet printer that prints it out on like a transparent thing, and you heat press it on, you peel it off, and that's your image. The problem with that is they're not durable. They fall apart pretty quickly. There are some companies who advertise like you can stretch them really, like, really far and they'll hang in there, but eventually they all deteriorate just because it's basically like, it's just like, it's not ink, not like an ink jet, but it's just like, it's not very durable. It's not very durable. Yeah. And then there's DTG printing, which is direct to garment printing, which is where it's like, it's literally an inkjet printer and you put the shirt on and you put it in a machine and it prints it just like a
printer.
Like an inkjet printer. The problem with that one is, and this is kind of an interesting thing, like in early 2020s when like people were at home not doing much, like a lot of people bought DTG machines and thought they were going to jump into this business because it makes it seem like it's simple, that you can just load the shirt and it'll print it for you. But there's like a lot of prep involved to get to that point. Like you have to put a special spray on the shirt and then put it in the machine and then cure it. So it's like a three-part process. The DTF kind of got rid of that part by just making it so you can print it out and heat press it on. The benefits is DTF, like he was saying, like if you got a photo or like something that has a million colors in it, easy. You just print them out, you know, put them on, heat press them on, peel them off, and it's done. Yeah. But again, it's just cost effectiveness. Like I actually just, I'm doing a softball team. They're sweatshirts and I use DTF transfers. One DTF transfer is $6, yeah. You know, plus the cost of the shirt, plus the cost of to, you know, prep the art, purchase the thing, get it, set it all up and press it. After a while that cost starts exceeding, you know, like the thing that basically what those are really good for is like the middle of the mall. Like if you had a kiosk in the middle of the mall and someone rocked up and said, "Hey, I need these birthday shirts." Yeah. That's perfect.
Like they're very like single use almost.
Like more than like single not use.
Single use, but like if you're just like, hey, like if you're a costume or if you're going to a party, like you said, like,
yeah.
Or if you're whatever, like it's very cost effective then because you don't mind spending the money on this thing that's going to be used in this one scenario.
Mm-hmm. And then the other thing that I think of is like, so he's in a club and he has a local printer that goes DTF to print their club shirts, which is probably okay. You know, like if you're only making a few just for your club members and, you know, but like I've thought about this, if I decided I was going to adopt this, like if I got some art, like I wanted to do a picture on a shirt or some art, would someone be happy coming up to the booth, paying me $25-$30 for a shirt and getting a shirt with that that's heat pressed? Like, I don't know if the customer would be like, why'd I pay $25 for this thing? You know, that's how I look at it. Cause I've been very tempted. I've been very tempted to do like cause I wanted to do like a photo, like a straight up photo on a shirt, you know, but there are other ways to do it. Like, you could do like a bitmap thing where it's like a grayscale, you know, I think that actually looks better, you know? So, I don't know. I don't know if I answered his question. It's really just whatever.
It just depends on, it depends on
whatever you want to do.
That's a big thing when people draw t-shirts or if you have someone, you're like, hey, like Chupa's just went through this with his, you know, he's got that, like, I don't even know what it's called.
It's a geisha girl.
Yeah, there you go. And, I was like, I think he talked to you about
t-shirts. He did. Yeah.
And it's just like, it's so many colors. Like in that instance, if that's what your heart is set on that design, like then you have to go do it a certain way. But if you're in the process of planning a t-shirt, you remember that, like,
yes,
if you have it, talk to the artist. Talk to the artist, and if the artist is familiar with making art for t-shirts, then they'll know that, like, to keep the colors down. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, even like say the sky is blue or there's something blue, like, in the picture, like that blue should be used somewhere else in the picture too.
Exactly.
If you're going to use a blue, like a chrome wheel to reflect, like that blue should be the same as this blue because that's now one color instead of a different shade of blue or the blue's fading into a different blue. Like every tiny little thing you have to think about, even grays, you know, like I've had a shirt before and I'm like, Brandon's like, that's six colors. And I'm like, it's black and white.
Yeah.
And he goes,
like,
no,
it's like six different shades of gray.
Yeah. And I'm like, oh,
yeah.
You know, you start. And then once you start having to pay for these things, you start to understand more. But a lot of artists don't print t-shirts. They don't work in that industry. They're just the artists. So they don't know about that. So if you are a company and you're like, yeah, I want shirts that look like this, like make sure you're working with sometimes you can skip the artist, go to the print shop and they have their own artist.
Mm-hmm.
Or
in my case, that's not the case for me. It's like,
you gotta come but with you one. Can guide.
Yeah. The person. Oh yeah. Yeah.
You can be like, okay, if you want me to print these, that's fine. You know, you can either go talk to the artist, you can, whatever it is, you know, but you can guide them and be like, yeah.
I don't want to say a problem, but a pretty prevalent thing in my industry right now is like websites like, I forget what they're called, but they're like ink.com or there's like these like huge, these like huge print companies that like outsource to different, like they're big conglomerate print companies. So it's not like they have a bunch of shops. They basically like subcontract to other shops. Well, there you can go on their app and you can design a shirt. And I think what happens is, and not, and I think what happens is people go on the website or go on the app, they design the shirt, they see the price, and they're like, okay, I'm going to go see what Frank can print this for. So then they present me with this art that has that same problem. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, look, this, and it's hard to convey sometimes to someone who maybe doesn't understand how the process works, you know? So it is kind of like, it is frustrating and difficult to talk to people and explain to that. And then on the other side of the coin, like Chupas, for example, I mean, he's a friend, so we can like kind of, you know, not bash on him, but use it as an example is, yeah, he paid someone to make that incredible piece of art, but he didn't tell them like it's going to be t-shirt art. He just said, create me this incredible piece of art, which they did. They executed very well. And then when he says, well, can you print this? And I said, no, I can't print that because one, even my machinery can't print that. You can go talk to Brandon and try to have him print it. He's probably going to say something similar. But even if he could get it down to work on his, you know, in his equipment, it's still going to be a 12 color shirt. You're still going to have to order a couple hundred of these things to make it worth his while to fire it up. So then you go, so Chupas goes, oh man, that sucks. So then now he has to go to a DTF type thing, which is perfectly fine for a few shirts. The rub is that $25 to $30 for one shirt is what that's going to cost.
Yeah. And because so you're, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I'm just saying because the person who owns that equipment has to make it worth their time, you know? So like now they're, and it's an individual thing. So if they're going to spend, let's say you wanted 10 shirts, you know, and they have to spend a couple hours prepping the art, an hour or so printing everything out, getting everything ready. Let's say it took them, you know, 8 hours to create that shirt. They still have to pay themselves for 8 hours worth of work, you know? Yeah. And that's why they end up being $25 to $30.
Yeah. Yeah. It's all interesting. In the video world, we've talked about this before. Like, someone would be like, hey, I want you to make me a video. And I'm like, okay. And they're like, well, how much? And I'm like, okay, well, what do you want? Mm-hmm. Oh, just a reel. Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay. They're like, and I give them a price and they're like, oh, that's just a minute video. I'm like, yeah, but I still have to get in my truck, load my equipment up, drive to you, film the whole video. And then edit it that down to a minute. Like it's the same process basically.
Yeah.
But you know, sometimes it's harder to edit a 1 minute video, getting everything you wanted. But yeah.
That's so, a great comparison because like what you do is screen printing and what they expect is you to run down there with your phone, do a couple things and edit it, you know, on your phone. That's kind of, which is not fair to the DTF people because that's kind of maybe discounting what they do, but it's in the similar vein. You're using a lot of...
Well, it's also okay to expect that, too. So if someone was like, hey, just use your phone and do it because I don't know how to do it. I don't want to do it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I don't want to do that either. So, like, I had just quoted out someone last week. They're like, hey, this is what I need. You know, I don't need you to edit it, but I need drone shots, rolling shots, head shots. I need it to be lit. I need it in 4K 60. I need, like, all these things, these notes.
Yeah.
And I'm like, cool. And so I gave them a price. I've not heard back from them.
Wow.
Because I'm pretty sure that the price I gave it was higher than they expected, which is totally fine. Like
No, that's totally fine. But for them, that's kind of interesting because that's not what, like, I think that's not someone who watches reels on their phone who has a company who says, can you make me that?
This is a company that makes videos, okay. But they can't get out here.
Oh, okay. I'm all so those are have, some very, very specific things.
They have
expensive things.
Yeah, they have a build that's happening out here, but they can't get their marketing video guy out here. So they're, you know, that happens quite a bit. So they're like, reach out, like I've done it, I've reached out to a guy in the Chicago area because I needed a show filmed, a diesel truck thing filmed, so I found a video guy there and just had him do it. But it's like, just because I'm not editing the video, I'm still doing all this other stuff,
right?
And and also just, it's just this, there's just a lot of steps no matter what the outcome is. Like you said, one t-shirt or 50 t-shirts. Printing the one t-shirt doesn't mean it's going to cost less. Like you go, yeah, you'd be like, yeah, I'll print you one t-shirt. It's going to cost you $500.
Right.
Because that's what it's going to, you know what I mean? Like I have to make it worth my time. So.
Yeah. And that's not to say that the technology is, you know, getting better, but what I mean, I've been doing this for almost 20 years now. 15-ish years now. And what's interesting is I haven't been in a while, but I would go to this thing called ISS, which is basically SEMA for screen printing. And for the last 10 years, it always like DTG, or at the time, DTG is the future. DTG is the future. Well, maybe that wasn't the future. DTF is DTF is the future. DTF is the future. All these screen printing guys here, obsolete. DTF is the future. But nothing beats screen printing. Like it just like it works. Like there's a reason why also screen printing has been the same process for the last like 200 years or something like that. You know?
Do you think like the AI stuff that's happening, you see a lot of people just creating AI art, mm-hmm. and then those are being direct to film, right? Or DTF that would be DTF. T-shirts.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So yeah, cause I've seen people like advertise their artwork and I'm like, okay, one, that's AI. Two, that does the, you can't prompt the AI to say like, this is going to be on a screen.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
This is going to be on a shirt. So make sure that it's only six colors.
Yeah. Or it won't understand that.
It won't understand it. It's just going to spit you out this thing. And then the people are taking that thing to people like you mm-hmm. and saying, can you make this into a t-shirt? So that's what I'm saying. Like there's still AI is going to change the world.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to change the world. But if you're good at what you do and then you're still going to be a needed thing. So there's still going to be needed artists, needed whatever, you know.
Well, I
photographers
think,
and
I think what it's going to come down to, like talking about that scenario specifically about AI and t-shirt printing, I think there's going to be this like transition period, but I think what's going to happen, purely speculation, I don't know. But I would imagine what's going to happen is someone is going to like a shirt company is going to have all this like, oh man, this is so easy. I don't need to pay an artist. I just tell this thing and it spits it out. They're going to go to a printer. The printer's going to tell them exactly what we're talking about. I can't do this in screen printing. We can do it in DTF. And the person goes, okay, they're going to quickly realize that the DTF, like it's not going to be sustainable because what they're going to do is they're going to create designs. They're going to make t-shirts. They're going to go to a show and they're going to realize like, oh, this isn't like the rest of these shirts out here. You know what I mean?
In the end, the consumer dictates everything.
Exactly. And they're going to be like, oh, my point that I made earlier, like I've been tempted to do it too, but is a customer going to go like $30 for that? Like it feels like plastic. It looks cheap, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Nah, they're just going to skip over it. And eventually what's going to happen is the person is either going to throw their hands up in the air and say, oh, well, whatever. Or if they really want to pursue it, they're going to go like, okay, we need to contact like a real artist and come up with some real designs and talk to a real screen printer, yes. You know? So like, I think there's going to be this like, not a transition, but this like part of how all this works.
Yeah.
And we'll see it. We'll see it at shows. Like we talked about it with Lindsay and we've touched on it here and there about AI art and people using it for flyers for shows, using it for art for shows. There's going to be a time when we're going to start seeing it pop up at shows and we're going to see, you know? I could be completely wrong and people could be like, oh, I don't give a shit if it lasts 2 weeks. It looks cool and I like it.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing too, right? You talked about this thing in waves where everything goes far this way and then it kind of reels itself back and figures itself out. And AI is like, it's just another tool. So if you're an artist, don't discount the AI.
Don't know for sure.
Just utilize it as a tool. And even some of the... I don't know if you watched that video I shared in the group the other day about the photography and AI and product photography and all that stuff.
I don't think so.
And it's talking about the new Nano Bananas that Google just came out with. Like, if you're a photographer, if you're an artist, if you're a screen printer, if you're a video person, it doesn't matter. Don't discount the AI. Make sure you understand it.
Mm-hmm.
Because at some point, you're going to get a client that, like say you have a hot sauce company. And you want a photographer to come in and do all this stuff. Well, that they, you know, take the picture of the product with good lighting and in a good situation and use it for marketing and stuff. That's a lot of steps and it's very expensive when they can just use AI, right? Mm-hmm. The hot sauce company can just use AI. That's mm-hmm. what that video was about. But does the hot sauce company know how to use AI?
Oh, mm-hmm.
So they could come to you and say, hey, I want this. And you could just create it in AI and you're still going to get paid because you know how to do both things.
Right.
A lot of these companies don't care that there's a shorter, cheaper, different way to do the process. They don't want to do the process.
Right. They just want
the thing.
They just
want someone to do the process.
Right.
So you could, if as long as you know how to utilize all these things, then it's just better. It's just a better, like I said, it's more tools in your toolbox.
I have another interesting thought. about what might be an interesting byproduct of this whole situation. So last night, actually, I was on AI on ChatGPT because I wanted to make a garbage pail kid of myself. And I don't know if you saw it in the group.
Yeah.
So I sat there. I wrote out a prompt. It spit it out. I tried to, you know, try to get more specific, to try to, again, try to manipulate it to get what I want. And it eventually kind of got there. And I think what's going to be an interesting byproduct of is the more and more people who use AI who are trying to get it to do something, we're just going to kind of get used to seeing AI art. Mm-hmm. But then when someone comes out with an artist with an original piece of art that someone drew, it is going to blow people's minds. Like mm-hmm. right now, not right now, but maybe there was a time when like we're making shirts like you know an artist, I know an artist, we're making these things and we're going along. Well, people are kind of used to that. They're used to coming up to the booth, seeing seeing art created by artists printed on shirts. Maybe there might be a point where there's so much AI art that when an original piece does come out, it's going to blow people's minds. They're just going to be like, and that's why true, like real artists will always have a place because no AI can replicate exactly what an artist does. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, it gets pretty close though. It gets very, very close.
Well, in that video, and I would suggest to go, I'll resend it to you. It is very interesting. And only for the fact that what the guy said, it was a picture of, I think it was hot sauce. And mm-hmm. he's like, did all these prompts and he put it on a table and he goes, this will put me out of a job. He goes, this mm-hmm. will 100% put me out of a job. Mm-hmm. He goes, this isn't perfect. He goes, but this is the worst it's going to get.
Oh, that's a great point. That's really good point. Yeah. Yeah.
And he goes, and this only started.
Yeah.
Not that long ago.
Within the last couple of years. Yeah. And that's why I could be completely wrong. There could be a point where you could tell AI exactly what you need and be like, yeah, sure. There you go. You know?
Yeah.
So but who then knows, man?
It's almost like food, I guess, right? Like I would pay more money to go sit down at a restaurant and have good food from a good chef. Mm-hmm. But then there's like McDonald's and Burger King and fast food, right?
The AI of fast food.
The AI of food, right?
Spits out a hamburger.
Yeah. So, I guess the same with anything, right? Like having the human to human experience mm-hmm. of something that's hand drawn will always be more special than.
And here's, I just had a thought of another byproduct of this whole thing. That what you're talking about, if you're talking like the meal, for example, having a nice meal compared to a fast food meal, the cost of that is going to go up. You know, people will pay more and there might be a point because like right now, everybody kind of does the same thing. Like, for example, we have Graphic Disorder who comes up with designs for people's lines. Brandon does. There are artists. So it's actually pretty saturated. We are saturated with good art. You know, a lot of companies have really good art. But the more and more AI takes over and people start going down that route, that is going to be, you know, less of a thing. But then it's going to become more of, how am I trying to say this? Like you can charge more for that because you can say, this is an AI. This is an actual piece of art.
Yeah.
You know, and that so now it costs more because now you're paying more.
But it also comes into marketing mm-hmm. and marketing yourself. Like I have a original Pinstripe Chris piece of art.
That's a perfect example.
Mm-hmm. Right. So like that he has marketed himself into this thing where he, of course, his art is amazing, mm-hmm. right? But if you want him to draw it, you're not just paying for the art. Mm-hmm. You're paying for his time because he's this person that you want this person's art.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying. Because right now we live in this ultra competitive, not ultra competitive, but we live in this competitive market where these artists are coming up with designs. Well, if that becomes less and less a thing, then you can charge more for it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we'll see.
So basically, keep drawing and getting better and better, and then marketing yourself. And there's going to be a bunch of AI stuff, but people are going to approach you because they want something special drawn by a person.
Exactly. They're going to be like, "Oh, that's $35," but I mean, that's a badass piece of art that exists. You know,
$35. Where are you getting $35?
I'm just making up numbers. That, I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, what about if we get to a point when there's 10 t-shirt vendors out there and there are two?
Here's another thing, though. When are we going to get to the point where people have to pay for the AI? Because how are these companies? These companies are spending
billions
of dollars on data centers, mm-hmm. on whatever, and you can literally in 5 seconds go get a free piece of artwork.
Well, we're getting there, because ChatGPT is you can only do 5 prompts a day. Yeah. Like when I was creating that garbage fill thing, you can only do 5 a day. I think premium is like $50 a month.
Oh, okay.
There are that are a couple $100 a month. Yeah. Like depending on the power, I guess. Like there are some very powerful ones, like $200 a month. So yeah, you're right. That's when it's going to come into play. Because then you're going to have that. You're like going to have a t-shirt vendor. Oh yeah, that guy gets it for the it's like Spotify with ads. There's definitely ads in those. That guy's paying premium. Oh man, you want to keep going or what do you want to do?
I got about a little bit of
okay,
time.
Let's do a couple more and then we'll save these for next time.
Okay.
Let's see. We did those. We did that one. Oh. So suicidal C10 asks your favorite mini truck ever. His is Oliver's Tacoma. We already talked about that.
Yep.
And then the one that popped it off was Nick Ramirez. We already talked about that one. We'll do a real quick bacon question. I don't know if you'll understand this one. See, this is very bacon. He says, "Who's hotter, Cheryl coked out Pam or Lana?" You don't know what any of that means. So there's a TV show called Archer.
Okay.
And there are characters on the TV show, and there's these three girls. Lana's always the hottest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not coked out Cheryl.
No, coked out Pam. I remember
coked out Pam.
Yeah. Coked out Pam, which is like this bigger girl, but then she gets addicted to cocaine and she like gets skinny.
Yeah. Does she know how to party though?
Oh dude. All Pam right. is yeah. like, Pam is tight. Like if you were to hang out with any of these people in real life, Pam is one you'd want to
Pam
hang out
is
with.
The one. Yeah. I've hung out with some Pams.
Oh, Pams are fun, dude.
Yeah. They're just not long lasting. They're good in the short term.
Oh, by the way, me being married with Angie for 25 years, I'm not saying in that regard. Pams are just fun to hang out with.
Oh, Leaving that. We're not cutting that out. Like,
I know people are like, haven't you been with your wife for 25 years? Yes. But I'm not talking about it like that. Like fun, like drinking, hanging out.
Coked out Pam.
Coked out Pam. All right, we'll finish it out with this one. We'll do two more. Matt, our buddy Matt from Houston, do you prefer clean stock interiors or clean custom interiors? I think the answer lies in your first thing, which is clean.
Right? Yeah, it doesn't matter if it's custom or not, because you could have a fully blown custom interior, but as long as it's like done.
Yeah, like not seams popping out or like.
Yeah, the you know when waves people, and the stitching.
Yeah. I think that's it. Like as long as it's clean, doesn't matter if it's custom or stock. Okay, this one we'll finish it out with. This is from _4Ordy_, who also included a cool picture of his truck. I'll show you that real fast here. It's an Australian Mazda, or I don't know what they call them. Do they call them Mazdas? Rangers?
Mazdas.
Couriers. I think it's a courier.
Yep.
Anyway, it's a B-series Mazda with a Ford front end, which is a courier. He says, what's your opinions on Oz Minis and the different models, e.g. Ford Couriers? Maybe I should have read this before I showed the picture. And Raider front ends. They're cool.
Yeah.
They're so super cool. Oh, crap. Jeremy.
Oh, no.
Yeah, Jeremy. Local Finesse.
Local Finesse with the Raider.
Yeah, with the Raider. That black one's so super sick. Like, it's so rad. Yeah.
There's certain trucks, like the dual cabs they have down there with the really shorty beds. Are the first time you see them, because we don't have those here. Well, we have them, but we don't have them with the super short beds like they do there. You're like, oh, that's so sick. But then you start to look at them more and more, and you're like,
yeah,
it's not very cool. Even the Tacomas down there, they don't have the body lines in them.
What
on
do you
the
mean?
Sides
on the bed,
like
the,
on the bed. There's no
way.
Lines
oh, they're just like flat.
Yeah, so you're just like, oh, that's sick, and then you're like, no, ours is better. But it's just
is
like
that
anything
why
else.
Jasmine took down? But, yeah. Okay.
So like, so when you see certain things that you don't get in your own country, mm-hmm. you think they're cool because you never see them. Mm-hmm. But then sometimes you reel that back and you're like, oh. But yeah, anything in that, in like all that stuff. The best thing about Australia to me is the motor swaps and how clean they do the engine bays and how clean they do the interiors. And we do like clean interiors here and stuff, but like a lot of mini trucks here don't do motor swaps here. It's like, or they don't even have clean engine bays. Like it's just they just don't do anything to the engine bays. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Sometimes they clean them up, sometimes they don't, but it's like in Australia, they seem to really focus on that.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of Jasmine and her stout, do you see the new wheels she put on it?
Those Supremes? The wire wheels?
No, the Supremes.
I haven't seen them.
Oh, they're bad.
Yeah.
It looks super sick. Like super, super sick.
She's which is insane.
It's amazing. It's actually incredible what she does.
It's almost unbelievable.
Right? I mean, yeah. Yeah. And I love since we're talking about her particularly, I love the comments that they don't doubt her, but they say things like, are you sure? And a good example is when she was building those upper control arms.
Mm-hmm.
And in the beginning, when she was like mapping them out with the wire and stuff, and there were people in there like, are you sure this is going to work? And then they come and it's like, oh shit.
Those are bad. I mean, she's a girl. She shouldn't even be allowed to be that good.
Duh.
God, Jack, calm down, Jasmine.
But yeah, that's it. And then there's a couple more we can do.
That Jasmine's husband or fiance lets her be in the videos of his trucks that he's building.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Girls. But yeah, that's it.
Speaking of Australia, I want to bring up East Coast Cruise real quick because we talked about Jamie at the beginning of this.
Mm-hmm.
So East Coast Cruise is happening this year, and he's in the midst of getting it all organized, getting awards done and all that. So I just wanted to shout out them and that show because I think they took a year off last year and they're bringing it back this year. And when we talk to him, it'll be interesting because that's like the first big mini truck show down there, I think. And I went down there one time and it'll be.
It's always the one that if I ever decide, like got to Australia, that's the one that I would choose to go to because
there's not very many.
Well, there's not very many. And then that is just the one I always heard about. Heard about that one.
We got to go. We'll go next year.
Yeah.
You ready to be on a 15-hour flight?
I don't know, man. After this last one. I thought maybe the more and more I flew, I'd be... I really don't like it.
But you've only flown a couple of times.
Yeah,
so you really just need to fly more.
Yeah.
So you like roller coasters, right?
I do. Love them.
See, that's what I compare the taking off of the jet. It's like... puts you back in your... like it's just like a ride.
It's not, but... I don't know. It's to me.
Is it like an uncontrolled situation?
It's like, you know, we're flying along and hitting turbulence and it's like, I'm kind of getting a little apprehensive about it. And Angie's like, well, you ride in a car and it goes over bumps. I'm like, yeah, but it's not 30,000 feet in the air.
You could push the brakes and pull over.
Yeah. And it's on the ground.
Yeah. Like you're and just if you hit a bump and all the tires fall off, it just goes. You stop
30,000 feet. That's the part that messes me. And I know. Yeah. And I know a lot of people are saying this.
Well, right everyone now. Always says that, right? Oh, you're more likely to get in a car accident than, but that doesn't matter.
Well, and that's what I'm saying. A lot of people are saying right now, like the physics of it can never fall out of the sky. Like it's almost impossible. However, it's just like a psychological thing. Like as I'm going along, just sitting there, like bumping along, and I'm like, there's nothing under me. For 30,000 feet. And then
you're doing 550 miles an hour.
And then, 30,000 feet. But then it's just water. The deep black abyss of the Pacific
Ocean. That's the scary part. Like when you were just like, yeah, flying over water, it's better, Mom.
Looking down like, oh.
Yeah, shit. Like, I don't know, man. Yeah, that flight to Australia is no joke.
Yeah, I know.
It's a rough one.
Maybe. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. I don't know. Japan next year?
Yeah, I mean, I made it to, so I think Japan is another 6 hours from Hawaii or something like that.
Yeah, it's like an 8-hour flight or I don't know what
something
it is.
Something like that. I don't know.
Japan, it's also a lot of fun when there's a lot of your friends on the plane.
That could change it too.
So, you know.
Because also the last time I went, I had my two kids who have never flown before. So it's just us three sitting there like,
Yeah, because like when I went to Hawaii, there was eight of us on the plane.
Mm-hmm.
And then going to Australia, I went just by myself twice, but then. There was three of us on there. In Japan, there was me, Mike, and John. Like, it's like it might be a funner experience with your friends versus maybe. With even just with Angie. You know what I mean? Because it's like you have a different type of relate. You can be fearful with Angie because she You know what I mean? But mm-hmm. with your friends, you kind of got to like...
You got to be a little brave. Like,
can't be a little bitch.
No. I'm fine.
Anyways, we hit the worst turbulence I've ever experienced.
I'm fine.
We all crash.
Oh, my God. Anyway. All right.
All right.
Go to our websites, buy stuff.
Yeah.
Thank you. Everybody who's patiently waiting for the new shirt. It's almost done. It's coming. It's shipping soon.
Coming. Yeah. Mine will ship at the beginning of October.
Yeah. Cool.
Right. Yeah. Ty Good Life.
Ty Good Life.
Ty Good Life. All right.
See you later.
Later.
Bye.